This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
We're looking at the Abahambe coat. When fashion becomes a political statement, well, every now and then a piece of clothing becomes more than just clothing. Let's just recap. It becomes a symbol, a statement, a conversation starter, or sometimes it can even translate to or be interpreted as a political message. Now, in recent months, so what has become known as the Abahambe coat has emerged as one of South Africa's most recognizable and debated cultural phenomena. Typically a leopard print puffer or faux fur coat, the garment has become closely associated with anti-illegal immigration activism and movements calling for stronger, broader border control, rather, and a South African's first approach. But how did a coat then become a political symbol? Why has it resonated so strongly with some South Africans? And what does its popularity reveal about identity, also belonging, migration, social media, and the current national mood? Well, joining us today in studio, we welcome Orebile Mashego, better known online as at Mash Not Potatoes, if I've read that correctly. He's also a content creator. We're going to clarify that a little later on.
Sure.
He's also a content creator, presenter, writer. Allow me to introduce you, Orebile. Researcher and law student whose explainer videos have helped thousands of South Africans better understand the cultural and political stories shaping the country. Orebile, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us live in studio. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the good people over at Kai FM and obviously yourself, Michael. That description right there gave me shivers, man.
We got that spot on. Actually, you know who's responsible for that? It's our producer.
She's a rock star.
It's all teamwork, my friend.
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk about teamwork regarding this coat. Now, let's start with that obvious question. For those who may not have seen the coat online, but don't fully understand the context. So what exactly is a Abahambe coat, and how did it become a cultural phenomenon? And tell us a bit about its design also.
Right. So I think to just give context to the issue, obviously, the March and March movement has been gaining traction across social media in South Africa. And the basic aim of this group is for illegal immigrants in this country to essentially leave. Right. And so they have been having this date of 30 June where this will be somewhat of a day of reckoning when all illegal immigrants will be, quote unquote, kicked out of the country. So as one does, I was on X and I came across this image of what seemed to be a Abahambe coat. Right. And to give you a brief describe, think of the white coat that was used by the Ku Klux Klan.
The Triple K. Yeah.
But instead of the white, just switch it in for a leopard print. But
if I can stop you there.
Sure.
Sorry, I have to. Why that specific shape and design? I'm curious.
So with the shape, obviously, I think there's a very specific message and argument that the artist is making from this coat, which is saying that the violence, the vitriol, and the language that were used by the KKK mirrors the violence, language, and vitriol by the March and March group, right?
Okay.
This idea of othering people, this idea of saying that these people are not desirable, putting people to the side, harming people, burning shops, right? There's this idea that they are doing this March and March thing out of being patriotic for South Africa. But in actual fact, cultural symbols are being acquired and used to do something very hideous. And that's what if anything, this picture does show satire, right? This idea of giving a mirror to society and saying, listen, look at what you guys are becoming.
Let's look at now the impact it's had on social media, on social media, how it's exploded online before becoming part of broader public conversation. So how much of this phenomenon was driven by, TikTok, X, Facebook, and other social media platforms?
So obviously, look, X, or what was formerly known as Twitter, is somewhat of a marketplace of ideas. That's what Elon Musk describes it as, right? So obviously, when the picture dropped on that platform, there were a lot of people who had all types of opinions on it. There were some people who felt that this was being disrespectful to the Zulu culture, that this is someone trying to misappropriate Zulu culture to the Triple K culture. And obviously, I think a lot of that stems from a couple of reasons. Firstly, there's a lack of media literacy in general in this country, and a lot of people online aren't able to really sit down and critically analyze things, because it's very easy to look at this picture and just assume that this was a troll or this is just some attempt to try and sow discourse, when in actual fact what the image is trying to do really is just open discourse. Like us having this conversation right now online is as a result of that picture, and that's as a result of good art, and I think that was what the picture is.
Okay, let's look at it now from your perspective as a law student.
Sure. Law graduate, actually.
I beg your pardon. This is my law graduate. Okay, I'll place more emphasis on that. Okay, but so then how would you then view the balance between people's right to express concerns about immigration and the need to ensure the public discourse remains lawful, respectful, and also constructive?
Look, I think we can both agree that South Africa definitely does have an illegal immigration problem. We have porous borders, you know, very illegal things coming in and out of the country each and every single day. I mean, there was a news story recently of a guy who tried smuggling 150 scorpions into the country.
That actually broke on the tabloids today. Was it early? Was it late yesterday?
Yes.
But okay, I saw it, yeah?
Right. So we already have that problem, and it's now going down to the average day people. And I feel people, specifically normal, everyday South Africans, have a right to be mad at that and have a right to be mad at the fact that inequality is still not being fixed. Unemployment is still high. Poverty is still high. And what happens is you have people who are angry, who are distrustful, and don't know where to point it. What the March on Marsh group essentially does is saying, listen, the actual cause of these problems are these immigrants. Let's blame them. Let's kick them out. But the problem with that is that we could kick all of these immigrants out today. That doesn't mean we're going to have 3,000 jobs automatically.
Indeed.
The problem still stands.
Right. So looking at symbols, if I can define the Abahambe Code as such, could it deepen then social divisions, or can they also spark meaningful national conversations about difficult issues?
I think that's where, you know, artists, comedians, creators, people who are well-versed in satire, this is where they come in and say, listen, this is what this actually is. This is what the conversation can be. Because I remember when I did the explainer about the video, there were a lot of people who were able to change their minds and actually now start to think, in actual fact, what is the aim of this movement? Who is funding this movement?
Right.
Why this movement now? As opposed to just looking at an image and just being quick to disregard it. Obviously, people are free to have their opinions. This is a free country, and our constitution definitely does protect it. And our constitution also protects the Abahambe Code, because again, it is freedom of expression, freedom of speech. And I feel the argument that is made in that video was not one to try and sow disrespect or put in divisions. If anything, it was more a case of we want people to be able to talk about it. Let's actually sit this and look at this image rather from a sober mind, so to speak. Yeah.
Let's look at the garment now. Let's continue rather.
Sure.
To, in this case, look beyond the coat itself. What do you think this phenomenon reveals about the country in 2026?
A couple of things. I think first to mind, I remember when I posted the video, someone said, you're the guy who made the Abahambe Code. Because, there were a lot of people were feeling like, wow, you explained this so well. You are actually the artist, which I don't know if I should take this as a compliment or like, but I think it's even endemic of the fact that we or the media in this country is not doing enough to foster these conversations. And I feel when you have something such as the internet, which is very algorithmic based and everyone's in their own silo, it's very quick and easy for someone to fall into a silo where all they're hearing is mistruths and misinformation. And I think right off the bat, it exposes that problem. But I think it also exposes the fact that 30 years deep into democracy, there's a lot of things that are still left unresolved. And the symptoms of those things left unresolved are lingering. And one of the ways are lingering is through the anti-immigrant distrust. Because if there were jobs, if we had an economy that was functioning, if we had less poverty and less inequality, we wouldn't be having this issue right now. But unfortunately, we are here.
Indeed, Orebile, as we begin to wrap up, looking ahead, you have outlined broadly what I wanted to ask you in conclusion, but sure. Do you think that this is a passing social media trend, or does it signal perhaps a longer-term shift in the country's political and cultural landscape?
You know, look, the optimist in me would think that I think after an issue like this, more South Africans would want to have more open minds and want to dig in more. But I think if history is to teach us anything, it's the fact that unless calm minds come to the forefront and lead conversations in a manner that is fruitful, we are set to see violence, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We are set to see bloodshed, unfortunately. And this is where the government and all spheres of society really need to come to the fore and say, listen, if these issues are not resolved, innocent people are going to be harmed at the brunt of it. Because I think even I said this in the video, that kicking out a Nigerian or Mozambican family from their home is not crime prevention. That does not create jobs. That does not stimulate the economy. We're going to be left with the exact same problem, just with those people gone. So I feel it is us, an endemic on us as South Africans, to go ahead and be frank about what the real issues are and not use these systems as a way to divert it from it.
Just as a matter of interest, as a law graduate, let me just get that right.
Sure.
What mechanisms, what plans would you put into place to make sure you get that very message across to the people, which you've just outlined now?
I think more than anything, we have a very, very progressive constitution, and a constitution that really, thankfully, and in spite of everything that we go through in this country, does protect freedom of speech. I mean, the mere fact that we are here in the studio having this conversation and not being stopped by the police or spies is endemic of that. And I think those are democratic values that I think now more than ever before we need to protect. And we protect it by ensuring that things such as fake information or mistrust or whatever these new forms of distrust are happening in the media come to the forefront, are quelled, and that, again, calm minds come to the forefront. So if it was me, let us ensure that all of our democratic institutions are apt and ready for the times. Because if they're not, as we've again seen through history, we will find ourselves lagging behind, and it'll be the innocent people who will be at harm for it.
As we sign off, I did mention that I wanted to confirm one thing with you.
Sure.
At Mash Not Potatoes.
Yes, one
okay.
word.
Mash Not potatoes.
Would you like to hear the story about how I got that name?
Please.
Sure.
Yeah, great. Thanks for proposing that. Let's hear it.
So I was in grade 4. I was in my Afrikaans class, right? And there was this lady by the name of Miss Van Yeden, right? So she had this way of like mispronouncing names. My name that my mom gave me is Warabile, which means God answered. And the way this teacher answered it, now we're on radio, but she answered it in a way that was not savory, to lack of the better word. I'll let the listener...
elaborate on that or imagine.
So okay. From that, I was like, listen, you know what? Just call me Mash because that's the first four letters of my surname, but not potatoes.
Okay. All right. So that's how at Mash Not Potatoes came about regarding Arabile Mashiko. Arabile, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you
having
so much,
you
Michael.
In studio today, and thanks so much for joining us. Just a heads up. If you want to listen to this conversation again, or you want to play catch up on it, just go to our website, www.chaifm.com, look under podcasts, and you'll see the afternoon brief conversations there. And definitely, you're going to be seeing at Mash Not Potatoes himself. Arabile Mashiko, better known online as at Mash Not Potatoes, a content creator, presenter, writer, researcher, and law student. Thanks so much for joining
Thank
us
you
today.
Very much.
Arabile, of course, helping us unpack one of the most fascinating cultural and political phenomena currently shaping public conversation in our country. Now, whether you see the Abahambe coat as a fashion statement or a political symbol, a social media trend, or something else entirely, one thing is clear. It has become a reflection of much bigger conversations taking place across our country.